This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Today we are continuing what turned out to be an impromptu series on the fear of the Lord. If you remember last week, we talked about the fact that this isn't terror, or that we need to be terrified of God. It means reverent worship, standing in awe, loving what God loves, hating what God hates, and being in relationship with Him. Psalm 89, verse 7, as you see on the screen, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around Him. That's the basis of our chat today. So now we are going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 and 14. At the end of verse 11, the chronicler says about the priests, they're getting ready to go to the temple that has been finished. And the priests are on their way. But what it says at the end of verse 11 is, without keeping to their division. And if you recall, when Zacharias was going to go to the temple and he was going to do his priestly duty, and he was told by Gabriel that he was going to have a son, John the Baptist, it says in the text that his division was on duty at that time. But here, what we see is something that we can think is profound. They weren't worrying about their divisions. They were all together as one. And that's an important fact we need to get out of this passage. They were together, and they were together as one. They weren't thinking about their divisions. And so you read occasionally about how people say, well, you know, in heaven there won't be any denominations. And yeah, that's true. We're talking about, well, that's you, but you're not one of us. But that's not what was on the priest's mind at that time. They were all thinking about being together in unity, if you will. Verse 12, and the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar. Now it's the "and their brethren" we need to look at, which means there was no distinction there. The priests and all of their brothers were together. And so think about priests. What does the New Testament say about the priesthood? In 1 Peter it says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. Who was Peter writing to? Believers. So the New Testament establishes the doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. So this instance here is meant to apply to all of us. We are all now priests, which means we make intercession, we can pray for people, we can witness to them, we can lead them towards Christ, and we can set a holy example for them. We are the priest. Now, I too am a priest, but I am a priest in the church. We are all priests before the Lord. Now, the King James version of that verse from 1 Peter is, ye are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. I expect there not to be any response to this. But I think I have that peculiar people thing down pat. But then, since I know all of you, well, let's stop there. All right. So, we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people set apart. We have been set apart for service to the Lord. And then it says in verse 13, indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one. Again, There's that unity. We're as one. And what did they do? To make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." So what was going on there? They were as one, and they were praising and thanking the Lord. And then what does it say? When they lifted up their voice. You know what that means? It means that those folks were in the temple and they were belting it out. And so there's something there that we need to keep in mind. We need to be, when we are in this sanctuary on Sunday, lifting up our voices and belting it out when we're singing. Now, some of you have said, "Well, you know, Father Mike, you don't realize we're New Englanders. We don't do that." And I'm saying, horse feathers. Have you ever been in Buffalo Wild Wings when the Bruins were on TV? Forget that, not being able to belt it out. That place is like the TD Garden when the Celtics are playing. You know how deafening that is when you're in there? Well, guess what? Those are all New Englanders, as far as I can tell. And so that means that thing about New Englanders not being able to be into it is nonsense. So if they're being that loud about the Bruins, how loud should we be about Jesus, the Savior of our soul, the one who came to walk with us and, according to John chapter 1, tabernacle with us, meaning dwell with us, and then dying for our sins? How much should we be able and willing to lift up our voices and praise the Lord, walking in the fear of the Lord, and letting our praises rise up to the throne, and experiencing the reality of the manifest presence of the Lord? Because look at what happens in this passage when all of those people lift up their voices in praise and shouting and singing, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And by the way, they're talking about the attributes of the Lord. What is he? He is good. And how long does his mercy last?
Forever.
But look at what happens. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. That was a glory cloud. That was the Shekinah glory. It was bright. It was shining. And the priests couldn't even continue their work in the temple because the glory of the Lord was so powerful there. They had to step outside. And that was so awesome. But look at that. What were they doing? They were singing, belting it out, praising the Lord and praising him for his attributes, that he is good and his mercy lasts forever. And folks, that means that if we come to the house of the Lord on Sundays with a grateful heart, and that we are in awe of the Lord and we're walking in the fear of the Lord, think about the fact that we can have the manifest presence of God here with us. Now, there's two ways of talking about the Lord's presence. Yes, he's everywhere, all over the world, all over the universe, all at once. But what we're talking about here is him making his presence known and experienced. And I don't know about you, but I think it would be totally awesome if one Sunday we had that happen here, even if it interrupted the sermon. I'm okay with that. If God wants to break in here and show us his presence, whatever's going on in the sanctuary, this is the glory of the Lord being here. We can experience him for real and not think that it's something in an old book about something that happened 3,000 years ago. but that the presence of God is here. Now, Solomon starts his prayer, and he prays for all of chapter 6. But then, what happens after that? When Solomon, this is chapter 7, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Again, that's something that would be so incredibly awesome. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Whoa. That would be so awesome. And it happened twice. Solomon prayed for a while here, but he didn't pray so long that the day ended and the next day started. This was twice in one day that God showed up and showed his glory to those people a second time. And what was the people's response to that? Verse 3. When all the children of Israel, note that it says all the children of Israel, saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." They worshiped the Lord in response to that manifest presence. They couldn't do anything else but worship. And folks, there is freedom in our souls when we are able to worship like that, where we are able to worship in impromptu moments. Not that we've been carefully prepared and all of these other things, but just spontaneous worship because we're so grateful to the Lord for all he's done for us. And that doesn't mean we're weird or we're crazy. If we're weird or crazy, we are weird and crazy apart from that. But that means that we can worship spontaneously. And let's get an idea of what this looked like, this glory of the Lord we're talking about here. Have you ever been outside at night and looked up and you saw the stars and the moon? And think about it. There's sunlight even at night. You said, what? Well, what do you think the moon is doing? It's reflecting the sun's light from the other side. So there's this reflection of the sun. That's how powerful the sun's light is. And just to get an idea of that, when I was in the Philippines and the sun was shining, and it was shining so brightly and so intensely that even when I had my uniform hat on and the brim was over here, I still had to squint because the sun was so intensely bright that I had to almost shield my eyes from that. That's what we're talking about here. That's the glory of the Lord. Now think about it. Are those stars in the moon, are they still up there? But think about this. The sun, when it is so bright and so powerful, it overpowers the light from the stars and the moon, and they're still there, but it blasts them out. That's the intense glory of the Lord that we can see. That's a reflection of that. That's an illustration of that. And we saw that with Moses when he was on Sinai, or Moses in Exodus chapter 33 when he says, "Show me your glory," and he sees the back of God, and it's still enough to light up Moses' face so that the people were terrified of him when he came down. This is what we're talking about with Jesus in the Transfiguration, that level of glory shining forth. And folks, we can experience that, and it's not just wishful thinking. Because, folks, if we are walking in the fear of the Lord, if we are walking in awe and in awesome reverence of Him, we too will be that glorious reflection of the Lord. And not only that, where we are, because of the glory of the Lord in us, it will drive out the darkness. wherever we are and wherever we go. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.